بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين وقال تبارك وتعالى الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف صدق الله العظيم. Elders and dear brothers, as you all aware right now, how quickly the world is turning around, evolution, revolution, ceasefire, people returning home. And the question that is asked right now, returning to thousands of shuhada, returning to thousands of martyrs, and to cities that are reduced to rubble, homes that are reduced to rubble, not a pan, not a spoon, not a cup to be found, not a plate to even eat food, not even a cup to make a cup of tea. Give the person some tea bags, some milk and some sugar. Jazakallah khairan, I don't have a mug to make a cup of tea. I don't have a kettle to boil the water. But then to the smile on the face, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best of disposers. Allah is the best of saviors, of caretakers. The resistance, the iman, the taqwa. That is one side of the world of the ummah. Closer to us, we are part of the ummah. Al-mu'minuna ka rajulin wahidin. That the believers are like one man, like one individual. In ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kullu. If the eye pains, the entire body pains. If the feet pain, the entire body pains. We are part of that ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and our ijtima'i collective a'mal, individual a'mal, contribute to the betterment or detriment of the ummah. One is this part of the ummah, whether in Gaza, whether in India, whether in Kashmir, whether in Sudan, whether in China, what they are going through. And the greatest ni'mas of Allah, Allah sounds in Quran Sharif, Allah is the one أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. Allah is the one that fed you against hunger. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And Allah gave security and safety against fear. Allah fed and Allah gave security. The two tests right now the ummah is going through in those parts of the world where there's famine, where there's poverty. And statistics show also when it comes to poverty, when it comes to food insecurity, so to say, these terms they have come up with. They say one in every nine person right now does not have sufficient food on his table to fill his belly. One in every nine. When they do the calculation, almost 1 billion people in the world don't have enough food right now to eat. You and I sitting here right now, we don't even think what we will eat after Salatul Jumu'ah is already prepared. The menu is out, the venue is done. That part of the ummah, what they're going to have today for lunch, for supper, Allah knows best what is the condition. Leave the cutlery and crockery, the plates and the pans, there's no food to cook right now. One in every nine, almost 1 million people undernourished. And then they mentioned that the amount of food that is lost and wasted in the world right now equals 1.3 billion tons annually. 1.3 billion tons of food which is meant for human consumption, which we can eat, which is edible, thrown away and wasted. What we call in Sharia israf, extravagance, opulence. Where the ummah has come to this right now, for us to introspect within our homes, ourselves, our children, when we're going on holiday right now, the level of extravagance, wastage, where food is thrown away, we take our extra, we can't finish it, throw it in the bin. To the extent our senior and those that were friends of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when they would eat also, after they would eat, one of our very senior ulama, Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayh, how particular he was even when he came to the food of the ants and the creatures. It's mentioned about him, after he would partake of food and he would gargle his mouth, he would, the leftover water or the water in his mouth after gargling, he would spit it out in the garden. They asked him, what's the reason for this? He says, the food particles in my mouth is still food. If I spit it out into the garden, it will become food for the ants and the creatures. Where their mind would go to? Our mind doesn't go even to the domestic. We'll give expired food, something that we can't consume really. Just throw it away. Go to the hotels, my dear brothers. Allah forgive the ummah. And how much the food will be taken out because it's buffet style. That we can't even consume so much. It won't even caution the children also. Don't take out so much. We can take out a second time. Take out a third time. But we will eat, consume, we can't even finish it. And rules, regulations, authorities, health. Because the food was touched, because it's taken out in the plate, you cannot put it back. Can't take it to the room also. Throw it away. The pain doesn't come in the heart. 1.3 billion tons of consumable food is thrown away every year. 1 million people. And who are them? They are those who read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Famine on one side of the earth. There's famine and poverty, undernourishment. And so-called developed countries, ifrat tafrit, excessiveness, imbalance. Developed countries, what's the disease there? What is the problem there? Not famine and poverty. Overindulgence, obesity, diseases, overholiday, overparting, overeating. We can't even consume so much of food right now. Ulama are saying at this time when the ummah is going through this right now, to feel some pain at least to alter my menu a bit. At least in my breakfast, I'm having two slices, make it 1.5 at least. Ya Allah, I won't consume that half. I will feel the pain of the ummah. Ya somehow, Ya Allah, you make this reach the part of the ummah. Little qurbani I'll take upon myself. When you look at the youth nowadays, as we want to, we'll just splash it out. When you buy a certain ice cream, no matter what the price, a certain cup of coffee, no matter what the price, whether my brother right now in that part of the world has nothing to even drink, not even clean water right now. For us to have some humanity within our lives, within our hearts, to feel for the ummah, then the hands will be raised in the day of Jum'ah. Then the ummah will raise their hands and make dua and make istighfar for our misdeeds, our overspending, our israf, our holidays. Holidays, yes, ulama say, you want to take a break to refresh in yourself, to come back, to speed up your life in the khidmat of deen by all means. Your holiday in life is to get this strength. That holiday doesn't mean holiday away from the masjid. On holiday, ulama explain, what is holiday? I'm free to read my nawafil. I can read more Quran Sharif. Not holiday from deen. Then now I have more strength to come back. I'm refreshed and revived. I'm back in the masjid, back onto my amal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great amount of wealth, my dear brothers. In Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. At the time of attending the masjid, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ, wear the best of your garments. Wear the best of your garments. Some Mufassirin say, كُلُّ مَسْجِد means every sajda you make should be such that you dress in the best of garbs and the best you adorned yourself for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But we see the contrast, my dear brothers, that the clothing I'm wearing, the best is for that haram or that makruh or that israfi, extravagant occasion. Where the wealth supposed to be spent, the way is going right now. I have to throw that dawat. I have to wear a certain garb, no matter what the price may be. One week of celebration right now. Here the ummah is waiting for one night of peaceful sleep. This ceasefire, so we can sleep tonight. Week is going, and there's party upon party. Party upon party, and extravagance in the dressing, in the food, in the decor, therefore is thrown away. If those people have to see what we are doing right now, we can imagine whether they'll make dua for us or not. Whether duas will come out from their hearts or not. They say a wife told her husband a year ago, when this entire war broke out more or less, so she told her husband a year ago, when the war will come to an end, then we will take some orphan children from Gaza and we will bring them up. Give them some comfort. Husband responded and said, when the war will end, we will send our children to them, for them to bring up our children. Look at their children. What iman, what taqwa. Ya Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with luxuries, my dear brothers. Then to salah has become a challenge. Then to spend in the path of Allah has become a challenge. Allah says at the time of salah, wear your best garment. When you come for salah, wear the best garment. That garment that is emulating the garment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the men in the masjid, the pants above the ankle, and according to sunnah, whether it be the topi also, almost 250 different riwayat, narrations in regards to the topi and headgear of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 250. For the ummah, the best of dressing to come for the salah before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah's command, wear the best of your garments during salah. The person has to come to my da'wat. I gave a da'wat, some walima, aqiqa. And the brother comes with his jammies, sleeveless t-shirt and his cap. Say, brother, couldn't you dress better? When he comes to the Sunday, zuhur salah in the masajid, as if now there's no dress code, my dear brothers. As if now this is anybody's house. But look at the Christians, how you dress up on a Sunday to go to church. Look at the Jew, how you dress up to go to the synagogue. The best of clothing. At least, the least ulama say, carry the kurta in the car at least. Come dress to the house of Allah amicably. Allah says, khudu zinatakum, wear the best of clothing. For our masturat back home, our ladies back home, they're dressing, they're covering, their salah also. Then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. That eat the best, drink the best. وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Don't be extravagant. Don't be extravagant, there's two meanings. Don't exceed the bounds. Whether it comes to halal, don't go into haram. When it comes to clothing also, don't go into extravagant clothing. When it comes to speech also, don't overspeak. When it comes to sleeping, don't oversleep. Today we find, unfortunately, our children, the oversleeping, the overeating, the overindulgence, everything is over. It's time the ummah takes the reins of the ship, takes the wheel of the ship right now, and cut out the israf. Cut out the extravagance. This is the main ingredient for no barakat in the home, in our sustenance. Wastage. Whether in speech, exceeding the bounds. Whether in spending, exceeding the bounds. There's no more limits, there's no more hisab, kitab. Allah says, eat and drink. I provided for you, don't exceed the bounds. And the other angle of it also, don't eat so little that you become so weak, you can't obey Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Allah says the true servants of Rahman, of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, are those that they spend yunfiqu, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا, and those people who spend in the path of Allah. وَلَمْ يُسْرِفُوا, there's no israf. They don't exceed the bounds. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, they're not miserly also. They are just between that in moderation. How to spend in the path of Allah? How not to be excessive? We have to go back and see Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they understood life. And this concept, my dear brother, Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't have means, they had plenty of means. They emptied their homes and they spent in the path of Allah on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made themselves poor by spending in the path of Allah, spending upon the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking 80 people at a time home to feed them. 80 people that you would make their wait outside, 10 people at a time, come and eat. You finish the next 10. You would feed within their homes like this. How they spend in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So for us to come back to the deen of Allah, Allah speaks about spending in the path of Allah, to be saving, to be thrifty, not to overspend, not to overindulge. When it comes to the spending of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, subhanallah, the tabi'een, how they were spending the path of Allah. Right now the month of Ramadan is coming. Many will take out the zakat also. And then to ulama say, Allah give us the himmat and the courage, the amount of zakat we take out. Is there a fever? Is there a favor to the poor and Allah Tabarak and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Whatever amount of zakat we are taking out, ulama say one is to take out the zakat and one is to take out the love of your wealth from the heart. To take out the wealth of that love from the heart. How to take that out? لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Allah says you will never attain piety. You will never attain piety until you spend that which you love. If my zakat is 10,000 rand, then ulama say take on 10,000 rand lillah also. Take out 10,000 rand lillah. Let the heart fill it a bit. Spread it out over 10 months, over 12 months. This is my lillah for the year. Take it out. My zakat is 50,000, 50,000 lillah also. And take it out. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors and avenues. We will spend over here, my dear brothers. The effect of it, the ummah will feel globally. There's no barriers for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When it snows somewhere, 500 kilometers away, we feel the cold over here also. We will spend over here. The spending in the path of Allah cools the anger of Allah. Allah, this in the path of Allah, I can't get it there. There are avenues that we can get the funds over there. But ya Allah, I don't know the avenues, I'm giving it here. But Allah will open up somewhere else in the world. And how Allah will open the doors to feed that part of the ummah, because the ummah is spending here. They cut out their extravagances, they cut out their overspending, overindulgence. They're spending in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How Allah will make a plan, Allah will open an avenue somewhere, and how Allah will feed. He made some sacrifice over here. How Allah will open the door somewhere else. One person saw in his dream, a person giving him da'wat, calling him towards Islam. In one of the Western countries, he wakes up in the morning, he goes to the local Islamic center, embraces Islam. Years later, he comes to Hajj, making tawaf of the Baytullah. And then he sees the person that gave him da'wat in his dream. He catches his hand. Salaam alaikum, brother. Do you know me? I don't know you. I saw you years ago in my dream calling me towards the deen of Allah, accepted Islam. So I don't know you from anywhere. Then they sat down and began to speak. Brother, where are you from? I'm from a Western country. Where are you from? From Pakistan. Which year was that? So and so year. Which month was it? This Pakistani brother backtracks a little bit. And he sees that year, that month, I was out my 1 year in the path of Allah, walking in the path of Allah. Where he was doing the gush, where he was khurud fi sabilillah, where the effects were right in the Western country, Allah Ta'ala gave him, showed him in a dream, and he embraced Islam. For Allah, there's no barriers. We will cut our overindulgence over here, ya Allah, you spread the effects of it worldwide. I will cut down a little bit and spend as Allah Ta'ala wants me to spend. See the effects that will happen in the world, my dear brothers. 1.3 billion tons. 1 billion people undernourished. They're also part of the ummah. Even those that haven't accepted Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam cried for them also. Ummate da'wa, ummate ijaba. One part of the ummah has already accepted the da'wat of Islam. Other part of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is waiting to accept the da'wat, who we call the non-Muslims. Whether we spend on them, whether we spend on the Muslims, how we spend on them, and how to go back. One is famine, one is obesity, overspending. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, tabi'een, how they spend in the path of Allah. Walk our streets here around the masjid, my dear brothers, and we'll find the poverty also. When insan will see halat and conditions, it will affect his heart. Few days ago, the Jamaat walked for Gush, just on our west road only. We're to meet one musalli we haven't seen for months right now. Bedridden, sleeping on a mattress on the floor, 4 months living in darkness, no electricity. 4 months living in darkness, no electricity. On our doorstep, a musalli of the first surf. How can the ummah waste right now? How can our children throw food away right now? And then when you meet him, by kisi tabiat, Allah ka fazal, Allah is very kind, Allah will give me. So resilient, Allah has given him iman. Allah save us from that test, my dear brothers. But when the time comes to give, whether we give here or we give there, it's for us to cut down our israf and wastage right now. With our food, with our extravagances, we don't have to have the big da'wahs. Send a message out, invitation for nikah and walima. Walima will be made in Gaza, inshallah. Ulema will be made in Gaza. Anybody who wants to contribute, you're welcome. Let them enjoy it. Aqiqah Dawood will be made in Gaza. We're sending it there. To this part of the world. And see the happiness, see the khushi, the du'as that will come out. Here you feed, there's a problem. Don't feed too is a problem. Feed those where there's no problem. Where the only du'as will come out from their hearts. And how Allah will give a return. Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu was passing by an orchard in Madinah Munawwara, and he sees a slave, Abyssinian slave, sitting and eating good food. And next to him is a dog. For every luqma, every morsel that he takes, he throws a luqma for the dog. Abdullah bin Ja'far is surprised. And he approaches him. Oh young man, good food you are partaking. Every luqma, every morsel you're throwing at the dog also, the dog can eat simple food. So he responds and he says, "Oh Abdullah bin Ja'far, the son of Ja'far, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the grandson of Abu Talib." So he says, this Abyssinian slave says that this dog has been my companion for many years. I feel hard and I feel ashamed that me sitting in front of this dog with a hungry face, it looks at me eating good food. How can I give it any other type of food? This is humanity. He was taken aback, a slave, sharing his food with a dog. So he asked the slave, "Who do you belong to?" "I belong to Awlad Uthman, radiallahu anhu. I belong to the children of Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu." He goes to the family of Uthman. A certain slave, a certain garden, this belongs to us. "Sell me the garden, O Abdullah bin Ja'far. You are a royal family. How can we sell it to you? Take it for free. Take the orchard for free." He says, "No, I'll pay for it. Take it for free. I'll pay for it." Finally, they come to a price, they fix it, he pays for it. Then he says to them, "There's a certain slave that works in that orchard. I want to buy the slave also." Then they say, "The slave grew up in our home. It's very hard for us to part with him." He says, "Really, I want to buy this slave." And they go on. Finally, they fix a price. And he pays for the slave also. Orchard belongs to him. The slave belongs to him. This is spending in the path of Allah. He goes back to the orchard and he tells the slave, "I purchased this orchard." Abdullah bin Ja'far, "Welcome, welcome. Hani Allah, congratulations to you. What a beautiful orchard. And I purchased you also." He says, "Me also?" He says, "I purchased you also. And more than that, oh young slave man, I set you free and I give you this orchard as a hadiah for you." In response to this, the man got his freedom. And he's got a property all of a sudden. Out of gratitude, he says, "Oh Abdullah bin Ja'far, may Allah reward you the best of rewards. I make you witness that I make this orchard as a waqaf to Awlad Uthman. I make this orchard as a waqaf to the family of Uthman radiallahu anhu." He just got a property and he gives it in the path of Allah. How they would spend, how their house would open up. Famine on one side, overindulgence on one side, and they're spending in the path of Allah. One Safar, Hazrat Hassan Hussein, Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are going for Hajj. What do you call a royal family? Hassan Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And then the cousin, Abdullah bin Ja'far, the cousin's son, they're proceeding for Hajj. The camels with the goods got lost. No food, no drink. They pass by an old lady in a tent. "Old lady, do you have anything to feed us? I have an old goat, weak, lean. Hardly has any milk in it also. Whatever you may get out of it, you may consume it." Hassan, Hussein, radiallahu anhuma, the two youths, the leaders of the youths of Jannah, Abdullah bin Ja'far, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They milk the goat and they drink the milk. Then they ask the old lady, "We have a long journey ahead. We have anything to feed us. We are from Banu Hashim. We are from Banu Hashim. The clan and the tribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She's taken aback. "Ya Allah, you send these mehman and these guests to my house." She says to them, "This is the only goat I have. You may slaughter the goat and I'll cook the food for you. Right in the desert. Slaughter the goat and I will feed you. There's nothing else I have besides this." They slaughtered the goat. The only thing they could live upon was the milk of that lean and thin goat. They slaughter the goat. She cooks the food, she feeds them. They make dua for her. Oh, old lady, if any time you come to Madinah Munawwara, the city of gifts, the city of welcome, the city of distribution, come to our homes and we will entertain you. They leave and they go for Hajj. Husband comes back and he asks her, where's the goat? So she says, very special guest came to our home. Who was that? Hassan Hussein, the grandsons of Rasulullah ﷺ and Abdullah bin Ja'far. I gave them milk to drink and we sorted the goat and I fed them. He was very upset. You believe them? How do you know the Banu Hashim? He said, they look like pious people. He was very upset with her. As time went on, they fell into hard and difficult times. They had to leave that area and they found the way to Madinah Munawwara. Years later, husband and wife, gone old, nothing to sustain themselves, they began to collect dung, cow dung during the day. They would dry it and they would sell cow dung. One day she's walking with this cow dung in her hand to go and sell. Hassan radiallahu anhu sees her. He recognizes the old woman. And he tells his slave, boy, go and call her quickly. When she comes, he makes her sit down, he detains her. Do you remember me? I don't remember you. We were the one that came to your home and you sorted the goat and you cooked the food for us. She said, I remember the incident, but I can't remember you. She said, I was the one. And out of appreciation for that one goat, he tells the slave, boy, go and buy for her 1,000 goats. 1,000 goats, we can do the math right now. How much is one goat? 1,000 goats and give her 1,000 gold coins. Now she's in poverty. Now you will spend on her. And go to my brother Hussein. Slave boy, take her. And he takes her to Hussein. How much did my brother give you? 1,000 goats, 1,000 gold coins. I will give you the same also. Go to our cousin Abdullah bin Ja'far. Go to him. Ah, you the old woman that you fed us that time. How much have they given you? 1,000, 1,000. I will give you 2,000 goats, 2,000 gold coins. She comes back home, you can say with a farm, with a plot right now, 4,000 goats. But 4,000 gold, husband say, what is this? Is this the repayment for that one goat I slaughtered in the name of Allah and fed the mihman of Allah? How Allah will feed us, my dear brothers? To open our hearts now before the month of Ramadan. To cut our israf out, our wastage, our spending. Hold back a little bit, the children will go out, not this weekend. Bear the same amount, we give it in the path of Allah. Somebody doesn't have it. Give it in the path of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, and say, Allah will return it. Allah will give it. Allah will open the way. To conclude on one incident, my dear brothers. There was one person who had a Hashimi friend, a non-Hashimi friend. He came on to a hard time, it was the day of Eid. The wife says to the husband, the day of Eid is coming, I have young children, they are crying, we can't afford clothes for them. What are we going to do? How many out there right now don't have the basics? My heart is shattered, I can't sew clothing for my young children. Their daughters have new clothing, my daughters don't have. Why don't you get some money, make some plan, do something? So he writes a letter to his Hashimi friend. That I'm in dire straits right now. Do you have something to loan me or to give me? He receives a letter. He has 1,000 gold coins, 1,000 silver coins, dirhams. He puts it in a bag. He closes it. He sends it to his friend. The friend receives that bag of 1,000 silver coins. As he receives that bag, he receives a letter from his non-Hashimi friend with a note saying, I'm in dire straits now. Can you help me? He just receives it. The happiness. We'll have a good Eid right now. The investment came through. We got paid out. I can throw it. And he's sitting with the bag. He receives my non-Hashimi friend. He's in dire straits. He tells the messenger boy, take this to my friend and deliver it to him. He gives it to him. He says, I felt ashamed to return home without anything. For 2 days he slept in the masjid. Third day he goes home. Why? He says, where were you? He said, I felt ashamed. The money came, I gave it away. He said to his alarm, he was surprised. She was overjoyous over his generosity. You spend in the path of Allah. You didn't bring for us, you spend on those that need more. And as he's speaking to her, the Hashimi friend returns. The Hashimi friend who gave him that bag of money returns with a bag of money. He said, I want to ask you something. What has happened? I send you this bag, it's come back to me right now. How did this happen? He said, when you sent me the money that time, then our other friend sent me a note also, he needs the money. I sent it to him. Now I don't know how he got back to you. He said, when I sent you the money, when you sent me the letter, this is the only money I had to sustain my family. You had a need, I sent it to you. When I sent it to you, he sent you a note to say he doesn't have money. Then I sent him a note to say I had some money, I just loaned it out, can you help me out? So the same bag, he sent it back to me. Yes, subhanAllah, Allah is doing. What shall we do right now? 1,000 dirhams. 100, let's give it to your wife to buy clothing for the children. The remaining 900, we'll split between ourselves. They just split the money. The news goes to the Khalifa Ma'mun al-Rashid. He calls him, what has happened? So Waqidi rahimahullah, he explains this what happened. The Khalifa is so overjoyed. Allah Ta'ala sustains from unseen sources. Allah Ta'ala calls all of them. This Khalifa calls all of them. And he gives 7,000 dirhams. 1,000 for your wife, let her enjoy with the children. And the remaining 6,000, 2,000 each, will celebrate your Eid. Will make your Eid like how the children of Gaza are making Eid right now, my dear brothers. Allah give us that understanding that we look after our wealth, spend it in the correct avenues, don't waste it, bring deen into our home, into our eating, into our dressing, into our vehicles, into our life, my dear brothers, where we cut out. Allah says, wala tusrifu, don't waste, don't be extravagant. Allah Ta'ala give us sufi to make amal. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Astaghfirullah.